All right, this is 11:26-23. The Lord says, this has been a test. This has been a test of the SWATs, the spiritual war attack teams. Do you remember all those commercials as a kid? The Lord says, this has been a test. Have you had a test this week? This has been a test of the giant killers. We're in training, right? All this stuff, well, I did something wrong and all this. Like I said yesterday, bull hockey. I didn't really use those words. I didn't say the bad word, but we need to realize what's happening when things are happening. And we don't go down through this mental list, what have I done wrong now? It'd be more like, what have I done right? Understand? All right, listen to this. After you hear what this teaching has to say, then you will be able to gauge if you pass the test or not. I'm not going to tell you you haven't passed the test. I'm going to relay to you the information the Lord has given me. But it's up to you, based on what I say, did I pass the test? We're not just playing tiddlywinks here or playing with Play-Doh. Well, this is the real deal. This is training for reigning. Isn't that where we're heading into, a thousand-year reign of peace on the earth? This is where we're going. And it's not going to flip over on a dime. It is going to take time. And God needs his leaders to step up and take the reins and begin to show the people the way. He raised up Moses to bring the children of Israel out of Egypt, right? If you fail to pass this test, be assured that you will be allowed to take it again. So on that note, I said when I was doing this, I said, Lord.
Hey, I should have recorded.
What was I saying? Oh, when the Lord began to give me this, I said, Lord, can you make it a little easier? He said, yeah, I'm going to flip it over onto them. They can decide if they pass the test. It's not up to me whether you pass the test or not. I just give you the information, train you in the word. And then when the test comes, you either rise to the occasion or you kind of do or kind of don't, or, you know, somewhere in between. Isn't that what training's all about? Yeah, okay. All right, this is where the Lord begins to speak here. The title of this is Breaking Out of the Rut. Yeah, breaking out of the rut. All right. I'm breaking you out of your ruts. You know what a rut is? The explanation of a rut is just a grave with the ends kicked out. I'm allowing these situations and circumstances to come into your life to see you how you will respond. I mean, how are you going to know how well the soldier is receiving the training if they're not tested in the training, right? I'm breaking you out of your ruts. I'm allowing these situations and circumstances to come into your life to see how you will respond. The reason is to get you off the track that you, in the flesh, are used to running on. You know, how we've responded all our whole life. How we do things. How we're to do things in the kingdom as opposed to how we do things in the world. The tracks that you have run on for most of your lives. Just doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result is insanity. I'm having to take you through this painful process so that you will no longer follow your own inclinations. That's those ruts. That's it. Well, this is what we've always done. This is what we'll always do. But you will, and I had this before I ever knew anything's happening to you for sure. So just get to qualify that. But you will follow my voice. See, he's wanting you to ask him, what do I do, Lord? What do I do? What would you have me do? Satan's lies would cause you to fear and panic. Fear and panic will steal your peace, and the fear and panic will set in. The bunch in the wilderness is a prime example of this. The promised land was before them. I have something to say here, and I believe this is of the Lord. Well, all of it is, but is there's things awaiting each of us that are just beyond what we can ask or think. But it's based on our response now, how we come into those things, right? But they were not ready. The promised land was before them, an 11-day journey. But they were not ready to go over for the inhabitants of the land would have devoured them. So I had to take them the long way around. The land of milk and honey lay before them, but they could not enter because of unbelief. Unbelief is still believing the evil report. I must prepare my vessels for what is ahead, like deep sea diving. Acclimation must happen or the person will panic and drown. Unbelief is what set them back. They knew the ways of Egypt, but they did not know my ways. They did not believe my ways, even though they observed all that happened by my hand in the land of Egypt. They saw what he did to the Egyptians. They had been in slavery all their lives, not just physically, but mentally. They wanted the good that I had for them, but they were not able to attain them, or it. They could not enter in because of unbelief or because of what they did believe. Unbelief is belief. All right, we're going to look at a few scriptures before we carry on. Hebrews chapter 4. We've been in this cyber war our whole life. What is a cyber war? It's after the minds of men. It's an evil demonic force that is after the minds of men. This seed war. This is what this is all about. People can get on there and say all their blah, blah, blah about everything, but if you just want the bottom line and the way it really is, this is what's happening. I can send you to Genesis chapter 6 and show you, or 3, and show you what happened that day. Or to 1 and show you God's order and show you the firmament. You know, I could tell you in 5 seconds what you spin and spin and spin and spin and put out there for people to eat. It's so simple. On the broadcast this morning, I was talking about the Jew junk. And I read to him about he's broken that middle wall partition down. I said, all my Christian life, I have watched them try to take and bring Christians under the Jew junk. And it's still going on. What are these? These are mindsets. These are narratives that have been sown. What? To take the minds of men. It's all mental. I mean, there's physical involved, but it's mental. That mental affects that physical. We're going to get into that. Hebrews 4, 1. Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. See, if we don't realize what God's doing here, we will exhaust ourselves in trying to find out what had I done wrong so I can correct it. Ever been there? Anything and everything, wear yourself out, make yourself sick even, trying to figure out, what am I going to do, what am I going to do, what am I going to do? Entering into his rest. You know, when we become a Christian, we give up any rights to ourselves. God is absolutely 100% obligated. When you become born again, you become his, and he is your caretaker. That's why it says don't take a thought about all these things. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. See, this is the problem in the church today. The church is full of just dead works. They've taken all their things that they do naturally, all the stuff they do, and they mixed it all up with the church and said, it's God's. And God says, I'm not a part of that. God uses medicine. No, he doesn't. He doesn't need it. And I'm not saying he would never instruct you to use medicine, but he likes to be asked. You understand? If a person's, it's like when they came out of Egypt, like Charles Capps, you can't build, you know, I mentioned that to Jackie. You cannot build a third story on a vacant lot. You can't do that. And as a new person coming in the Word of Faith, it'd be stupid to tell them, don't take any medicine, don't do any of these things. Like he said himself, you might have some funerals. The point is, he took them the long way because he knew what they had been trained in, just like we have been trained in. So what did he do? He was working it out of them. First thing was the manna. Let's see if they'll obey me or not. All right, this is the way you're going to do it. You'll gather it this time of the day, and this day you won't gather it. And just, you know, don't hoard. Just get just enough. So he had to find out and test the people to find out how much responsibility he could give them. Are they ready to go in? No. He hadn't changed his tactics. Isn't that kind of the way he does us all in our own ways? All right. If they couldn't believe him in the little simple thing like the manna, how are they going to believe him when you got in a dire situation and you need to hear from God? You got a Goliath confronting you. All right. Not being mixed with faith in them that heard it, for we which have believed do enter into rest. And he said, as I sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. He gave us an example. He did his work and then he rested. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remaineth that some trust there enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. They just can't rest. They're so used to doing their own thing. They're in their rut. And this is the way grandma did it. This is the way mama did it. And this is the way I got to do it. Again, he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore rest to the people of God. How do we rest? Well, we ask God and then we wait. What's Isaiah 31 talk about? They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. No, we're just working, working. God, what have I done? What have I done? What do I need to do? Keep going, keep going, keep going. You fall over in the bed and you just can't even sleep. You're so wore out. There remaineth therefore rest to the people of God. That's the person that says, I don't care, I don't care, I don't care. For he that has entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works. What if I just pray more? If I confess more? If I give more? See how we do it? We go through our mental ruts and we, you know. None of these things are bad in themselves. But is that what you're supposed to be doing? Or are we just doing the religious thing? We've all done the religious thing for many years. We've had to come out of that religious thinking. It hasn't gotten us anywhere. Honestly, I got fed up going to churches that I never saw any power at all. And most of the people are just basket cases. They're no better in the world. They're going to the psychiatrist. They're going to everybody under the sun but God. Now, if they can get theirs met from poor old, some overworked, poor old intercessor, for he that has entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works as God did from his. It's like the little woman with the dead son saying, well, why are you going to the prophet today? It's not the new moon or the Sabbath. She said, all is well. And then the prophet sent out Gehazi or whatever his name was to ask him, ask her what's wrong. She goes, all is well. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest. It's hard. It's hard to keep that mouth shut and say exactly what you want in the midst of dire circumstances, isn't it? We all know firsthand. Lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. We hadn't just been wasting our time here. God's looking. He's watching. I've got another word after this that talks about this team here. God's never taken his eye off the target and our purpose. Now, we might have got messed up and got all been out of shape and all running around with the chickens with the head cut off at times, but God, he hasn't lost his focus. He don't change his mind. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. He's observing the troops. Just like Jesus walking in the midst of the candlesticks, the churches. He's observing what's going on in every one of his fellowships. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. We need to hold fast to what we know from God, not what we have learned in life. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of infirmities. He knows what you're going through. He knows more than anybody else. But was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The devil will always make you feel like it's life and death right now. Got to have answers right now. Pressure, 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 pressure. That's the way he does things. Pressure, panic, fear. Unbelief here is perversely adhering to an opinion, purpose of course, in spite of reason, arguments or persuasion, resistance to change. That's what kept that bunch out. Most definitely. All right. They wanted the good, but they would not adapt to my ways. Lord speaking here. They would not even obey me in the simple things. They, by their own choice, wandered around in their little ruts for 40 years and died. Just like people today sit in front of the TV and do their same routine until they die. They didn't know then, and neither do they now know what good things I had prepared for them. Just like these former slaves, they also all wanted to go everything to go back to normal. Ever heard that? Mm-hmm. The normal then was Egypt and slavery and the lash. It is not any different now. They don't care how bad it is as long as it is comfortable. It's like the frog in the kettle. The frog will cook to death in that kettle. As long as you do it slow, he's not in any pain. Your land of milk and honey stands before you and is ready for you to inherit, but it will not be comfortable. There are giants on your land and you will have to run them off. Moses had to take his stand, as well as Joshua and many more, in the Faith Hall of Fame. They went through uncomfortable things, but they reached the goal. They went into the fire, didn't they? They went into the lions, didn't they? It takes bravery to come out of your comfort zone, and few are ever brave enough to do it. The old guard is dying off, just like those coming out of Egypt, and the new guard is advancing forward. This is Matthew 11:12. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. Violence there means a forcer or energetic, and force means to seize. In other words, you're pushing in and you're seizing what is yours. You can't sit on your rear and watch TV and just do your thing and take the land. You're not going to do it. You can't. It just don't work that way. All right, right here, turn over to chapter 11 of Hebrews. We're just going to read just a few scriptures, not the whole chapter. People talk about, I want to be in the Faith Hall of Fame, but they got to look at, what these people go through. This is starting with verse 32 there. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. There's Daniel. Quenched the violence of the fire. There's the three Hebrew children. Escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness were made strong. Waxed valiant in fight. Turned to flight the armies of the aliens. They had to be aggressive. Women received their dead, raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. Others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings. Yea, moreover, bonds and imprisonment. There we see Paul and Silas. They were stoned. Peter, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins, goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts, and in mountains, and in dens, and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. So these people, they went through the fire. All right, the old guard, new guard, the choice is up to you, and now you can see the difference between the two. The old is better, they say, and it causes them to continue on the same old track. The new says, I trust the Lord, for he is a better way, and he has my back. Always ask for my opinion and wait on me to respond before you act. For you see, I have a plan, and it's always to better and help you and set you free. I always have the best route for you to take so that you do not suffer from mistakes or consequences, and there are no regrets. Old guard, new guard is not about your bodies. The body will follow the mind. Proverbs 23:7, you act like an old geezer, you will act like an old geezer. And I don't mean that to anybody. That is just an expression. That goes for all of us. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. If you think I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, you can. Why do you think God used people like Moses? He is 80 before he ever called him. Here he was, a blubbering idiot. He stuttered. And he tried to argue with God about it. Please send somebody else. What did God do? He sent him in, renewed his youth. And when he died, his eye wasn't even dim. 120 years old. Is that just for Moses? I don't think so. See, we have the world system has a cause you to die off early. They keep extending Social Security so they can keep your money. Then they try to get you sick and keep you sick so you die early. That's the world system. That's not God's way. Yeah. It's all a plan, all right? All right, let me see where I stopped here. They wanted the good, Did I read that? No, I did. For as a man thinketh, so is he. Let's keep going. Think old, sick, your body will reflect it. Think young, viable, your body will reflect it. The only thing that keeps a person out is his or her thinking. Right here, Psalms 105:37. He brought them forth also with silver and gold, and there was not a feeble person among their tribes. So what was the problem? We're going to go over to Numbers chapter 13. We're going to see what the problem was. This is nothing new for y'all. Y'all don't, you know, it's just... Sometimes we just have to buzz the tire several times. We're like Maverick. It's time to buzz the tower. Lord, it's time to buzz the tower. Okay. We're buzzing the tower today. Like I said, based on what I've read to you, you can tell me probably right now, have I passed the test or not? Some may have done better than others. Like I'm not the judge. I can't judge. We've all come short of the glory of God. We've all missed it at times. But our goal is to get to where we don't, right? All right. Numbers 13, verse 31. Now, Moses sent 12 leaders of the 12 tribes over into the promised land to observe and bring back a report. 31, but the men that went up with him said, we be not able. See, Joshua and Caleb was talking about how good it is. But the men that went up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. So this is the land that God's chosen for them. Oh, we can't do that. We can't do it. It had nothing to do with their bodies or their age. Causing them to die out was as a result of their mindsets. Plain and simple. In their minds, they turned back to Egypt just like the dog to the vomit and the pig to the mud. Going back. Same old, same old, same old. I tell you, today, the body of Christ, religious training is our biggest problem. Forget the world garbage. I guess because the world got in the church, right? All right. To follow me in my plan and to inherit your promised land may seem an imposition. A lot of them say, well, it just takes so long. Well, I can just go zip in here and zip there and get a quick fix, you know. But the thing about when you get a quick fix, you got to have another quick fix and another quick fix and another quick fix and another quick fix. When you do it God's way, you don't ever have to do it again. Follow me in my plan to inherit your promised land. It may seem an imposition. It is not comfortable. But you see just how deadly being comfortable can be. You too will have the choice as those in the wilderness did. The giants will not go just because you want them to go. You will have to force them out. You cannot do this if you're looking back. Oh, I just want to go back to being comfortable again. I just want things to get back to normal again. Ever say that? Oh, I wish, you know. Even in your thinking, ever sit and your mind starts wandering, you start thinking all these things? It's dangerous. Ain't nothing back there. I remember having a word of prophecy when we were going to abundant life. It's in the gym. And I remember in the word of prophecy, the words that came out of my mouth were, quit looking back there. There is nothing back there. The water covered the sea. There's nothing back there. You don't have a past. Why are you keep looking back? I'm going to go back to my old rut. Because the pressure will go back to my rut. Oh, if I just did this. Oh, if I just would do that. And you try it, and it doesn't work, does it? All right. Let me pick up where I was here. Hold on. Because I want to get every word that I wrote down, though, what the Lord gave me for you. All right. You too will have the choice as those in the wilderness did. The giants will not go just because you want them to go. You will have to force them out. You cannot do this if you're looking back. Oh, I just want to go back to being comfortable again. I just want things to get back to normal again. The bunch coming out of Egypt limited me. Learn from what they did and watch your thinking and your words and no longer look back. Your future is ahead of you, not behind you. The greater things lie before you, no matter what the circumstances might dictate. The situations and circumstances are what cause you to look back. You spend all your time trying to get rid of the circumstances, and that causes you to let go of the plow and look back. Haven't I already told you about this many times before, that if you will seek first my kingdom, my righteousness, and all these things will be added to you? Take care of my business, I will take care of yours. Remember the Care Bear snare? The care is the snare. They took, in the wilderness, they were taking care of themselves instead of allowing God to take care of them. All right, we're going to look at a few scriptures here. 1 Peter 5. So the next test that comes along, I hope you will remember these words that you're hearing this morning. You'll hear, this is a test of the spiritual war attack teams. We're here to see just how battle ready you really are. Are you really ready to take the land? Are you really ready to take our nation back? If you think you're going to sit on your hands, think again. It's going to be all hands on deck. When they clear out this swamp and all these institutions and all these places of authority, we're going to be on bare bones. That's why they're seeking people out right now. That's why they're monitoring people, these platforms and different things, so that they know who to recruit. Now, I don't care what about... They're not going to recruit me. God will recruit me, or I won't be recruited, and they can just take it, put it in their pipe and smoke it. That's all I care about, is what God wants me to do. But we're talking naturally speaking. Just for our nation to just survive and just to keep on, for people to live, be able to have some semblance of normal life. We don't realize just how many people go into the operation. We think, well, you know, we may not see much people, but how many people do you, or places do you go that are staffed with people that either get your, you know, your food to you or stock the grocery store for you or whatever? Everywhere you look, lots of people. All right, 1 Peter 5, 6. It's kind of, Peter uses the word humble. Humble yourselves. Why? Pride goeth before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Humility, Lord, you can do it better than me. Instead of, I can do it better. I will do it myself. I can handle it. Humble yourselves, therefore, unto the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care. See, there it is, the Care Bear snare right there. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Every Christian, especially those that are serious, they go through this. All Christians that decide, I'm going to follow Jesus, I'm going to hear God, I'm going to do what God tells me to do, I'm not going to take care of myself, all that, you make that decision. All right, Philippians chapter 3. Paul says here, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. There ain't nothing there anymore. Reaching forth into those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Press means to pursue. The mark means to take aim and regard it. In other words, you concentrate on that mark, not what's trying to get your attention. That's the goal. All right? Just a few more here. Obedience on this side is what gets you to the other side. Satan no longer has the keys. Matthew 16:19 says, I've given you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you loose, bind, you bind. Right? Revelation 1:18, Jesus says, I have the keys of death and hell. The devil does not have the keys. We need to quit acting like he does. No longer give him glory to make him powerful in your mind, for he has been stripped. I'm watching to see if you will follow me or not, just like the bunch. Numbers, go read Numbers 13 and 14. I'm not going to do that today. But you can go read it and just look at the mindset of these people, the two groups. Those that stood alone were the two. All right. This bunch did not trust me. They did not inherit and they did not go in. They made the wrong choice. They let fear and doubt keep them out. What they saw caused their fall. Colossians 2:15. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. I'm overseeing and watching over all the things that you are experiencing. I've told you that I will not let you fall or fail. Ultimately, the decision is up to you. In other words, when you take it into your own hands, you've cut off his receptors. In other words, those that would be in place to come to your aid because you decided you'd do it your way. Think about that. I am watching to see if you will act on my word or will just continue to react to the circumstances. Your focus has been this, your focus has been, I just want to get this over with. Start acting and stopping reacting, and it will be over with. In other words, the hard things you're going through and thinking, what have I done wrong this time? That kind of thinking is causing you to have to take it over and over and over. But when you get to the point that you realize the way it really is and what's going on here, and quit asking those stupid questions and questioning God about everything, then you won't have them anymore. You won't need it anymore. Test passed. All right.